The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Tuesday morning, that'll be the 17th of November 2020. It is nearly but not quite 9:05, so you have seconds to kill. We're here till 10 o'clock. You can email ryan at rte.ie or you can text us if you like to 51551. You know when you might be a little tired, which I'm not today, I was yesterday, but not so much today. I was yesterday as the mother of an old school friend of mine explained to me in the shop... The things you do. Right, so I go to my local shop. I said, how are you going to? She said, now that navy shirt on the TV. I said, yes. She said, I'm just not. It's just I can't. I said, oh, yeah. She said, no, it makes you look tired. I said, it makes you look tired. I said, I'll tell you what it is. For example, last Friday, it wasn't the shirt. I was a little tired. I had quite a busy week. but if you want to blame the shirt, I'm going to blame the shirt. I like the shirt. Amazing, but I there are good times. She's a lovely woman, by the way. I'm not trying to be mean, but she was one of those life's brilliant straight shooters. She had an ice cream on me once. She said, "I met her. She's brilliant. I met her. Well, I was eating an ice cream. She said, that looks nice. I said, and she said, can I have some? I said, yeah. Took the whole ice cream. Brilliant. Gas woman. Now, because in the same shop, things that happened to me. I was in the shop. It's near the bookshop, Dubray. And I went into Dubray, and Robin was in Dubray, and said, Robin, I'm looking for the John Banville Road book called Snow. I've been banging on about it. He said, yeah. I said, Ned, and I could have looked this up, but this is what I was accused of upstairs as having learned helplessness. I could have looked it up, but I said, there's another book with the character. I really like the detective in it. He's a Protestant detective trying to come to terms with being a Protestant in the Irish Gardaí. It's great. It's just full of those little casual, snobby... societal Irishisms that are very beautifully observed by John Banville. But he wrote it as B.W. Black, not even Benjamin Black. I was now completely confused, but he found it. And I presumed he was going to ring me or whatever. Sure enough, I'm picking bread off the shelf of the bread aisle, and he comes up and he said, I thought you might be in. That's predictive. He brought the book in to me. I said, there you go. I said, thanks very much. I thought, that's the quality of service... is not strained, it droppeth like the gentle rains from heaven. Anyway, this book is called The Secret Guests, and I'm reading it at the moment. And it's a curious idea. It begins with two girls, I think they're 14 and 10, looking at the window in World War II, of a window in a big building. The building is, of course, Buckingham Palace. And the father has a stammer, the mother is drinking gin, and they're saying, we have to get the girls out of here, it's too dangerous. So they send the girls not to Switzerland, not to Canada, but to Ireland, of all places, to an old crumbling pile in Tipperary. And so the story begins. They go over and it's not too long after the War of Independence in the great scheme of things. And that's how far I'm into it at the moment. And I'm intrigued. And it's beautifully written. And it's called The Secret Guests by B.W. Black. It comes with another recommendation. This lovely book for it's a nice easy read for Christmas, I think, for a lot of people, because I'm heading that way. A book landed on my desk this morning like this. I wish I could do it heavier than that, because it was 700 pages of a book. Boom! What the hell is that? That's not a book. That's a small country or a, you know, that's a brick. It's enormous, and it's Barack Obama's autobiography. Enormous. What's it called? It's got quite a biblical title on it. It's not just like Clinton's was My Life by Bill Clinton. But Obama's is A Promised Land. Thank you. A Promised Land by Barack Obama. No pressure then. Promised Land. But I just read the preface of it and it looks really good. The man can write. He's an extremely bright intellectual professorial human being. I just hope that the book has enough colour in it, if you like, for to carry the story along, because you can't just have prose. You need a bit of light in the middle of it all. And it is well, I'm not going to say it's well worth a look because I haven't read it yet, so I don't know. But I'm going to have a look. I don't know if I have the time or the headspace for it now, but it feels to me like it might be that Christmas week book to get stuck into. But I'll see. But it's coming out. I don't know when it's in the bookshops, but I know. I'll find out for you now in a second. And by me, I mean they, the others. And it's Obama's new book. He tweeted last night, you might have seen it, the music that he feels are the memorable songs from his administration, the Obama administration. I mean, it's effortlessly cool. B.B. King, The Thrill Is Gone. Beyonce, Halo. Beyonce, At Last. Bob Dylan, The Times They Are Changed. Bruce Springsteen, The Rising. This is just Eminem, Lose Yourself. Of course that's there. Fleetwood Mac, Rhiannon. Jay-Z, My First Song. What else we got? Miles Davis, Freddie Freeloader. Philip Phillips, Home. The Beatles, Michelle. He had to make sure that the missus is included, did she? Shade, Cherish the Day. Stevie Wonder, Signed, Sealed, Delivered. Stevie Wonder, Sir Duke. You Too. Beautiful Day. Played it here last week. So, and that's just a slap. And Frank Sinatra, Look Be a Lady. That's a great song. That is. I wonder why he plays. That must put him in good form. Gloria Estefan, another alumna of the Late Late and indeed our radio show. A few of them in there. So there you are. That's a Promised Land playlist by Barack Obama. That's it. Now, the book, they are Elizabeth and Margaret, a great book by Banville. Yes, the two girls are based on Elizabeth, the Queen of England, and Margaret, Princess Margaret, so that's good. And because I know a lot of The Crown is in the air. I watched 4 episodes of The Crown and I turned it off and said, that is putting me to sleep. I want to watch a television programme that keeps me going. And then it's in there this season where it's Gillian Anderson from The X-Files playing Margaret Thatcher and everyone's very, very confused. Men of a certain vintage are very confused about how to take all of that. Very confused. No one should ever fancy Margaret Thatcher under any circumstances. Any. Political. Amorous. Well, now that's all changed, hasn't it? And that's what happens in The Crown. But apparently it's very good. I haven't seen it. I'm half thinking of going back from scratch and going and doing that. But to be honest with you, I treated myself to a box set over the weekend, a purchase, and I'm making my way through it from season one, episode one, which is a program, if you haven't seen it, called Veep. It is one of the funniest programs I've ever seen in my life. It's a kind of post-presidential election come down for me. It's 20-minute bite size. It's Armando Iannucci who did The Thick of It and a lot of Alan Partridge. If that's your bag, you're in. It is so full of zingers and cleverness and everything. I mean, I can't stop laughing. It is just a joy. And I'm going to watch every single episode from beginning to end because it's wonderful. The Obama book is on Audible and narrated by himself. So he tells, of course he does. He's got a great voice too. Can't wait to start it, says a text. 51551. Our friends, Irish Women in Harmony, we had them on The Late Late and they told us they were going to do a Christmas single. And by Jiminy, they are. Delighted to announce our new original Christmas single. It's called Together at Christmas. And that's out on Thursday. Well done. Supporting ISPCC Childline. Wonderful news. And you can donate €4 by texting CHILDHOOD to 50300, which is just great news all round. So well done to them. I'm sure we'll be seeing them soon. At least I hope so. Elsewhere, a tweet by Jordan Jones, who is a very nice person indeed, because we spoke to her and she's an actress and an actor. And her message said, I was talking to a taxi driver coming home from work and we were speaking about Asperger's. And when I mentioned to him that I have it, he asked me, was there anything he could do to make the journey more comfortable, like lowering the music, changing the heat maybe? And oh my God, my heart exploded. That's a very, very emotionally intelligent man. Reading the room, as it were, and sorting out and accommodating his guest beautifully. Ratatouille, the musical. It's funny Ratatouille is in my head a few times because I watched it with the Gertles not too long ago. We were just said, look, let's have a reversion to childhood. And it was most enjoyable. And the food critic is one of those. You know, in the American movies, the baddies have to be posh Brits. And it's like, I'm here for my soup, please. Thank you very much. And I said, who is this? And I didn't think he was still alive at the time. But the voice was Peter O'Toole, which amused and amazed me. But they're doing a full-blown Ratatouille musical is being created on TikTok. But I was shown by my younger Minister for Culture, this Ratatouille TikTok clip of some guy, and it was good. He was doing Ratatouille in the style of Hamilton, and it was really, really clever and really rella funny. It's a good day for rats, Ratatouille, isn't it? They get a good run out and a good PR for the rat world. I'm getting 5 bazillion messages every week asking, where can we get the pyjamas for the Late Late Toy Show now that Penny's aren't open? The answer is you can't get them this year. They are not going to be available in the shops or online, which is really sad because it I think for a lot of people it was part of the tradition and it was part of... So you're just going to have to live without them. The only good news I'll have for you on it is that there were 50,000 pairs of pyjamas made for sale for the toy show, but then the lockdown happened. So what do? Well, Penny's have teamed up with Barnardo's. This is really lovely. And what they're going to do is they're going to donate every single pair of pyjamas to children's hospitals around the country. So you've got Barnardo's, you've got the Children's Health Foundation, Crumlin, you've got Temple Street, the National Children's Hospital Foundation, Tala, and they're going to donate them all to sick and vulnerable children across the country because the shops are closed, as you can appreciate. And they will be distributed to children in DESH schools across Ireland and to children who access Barnardo centres, as well as direct donations to over 600 vulnerable families, all picked and coordinated by Penny's volunteers. So this is very generous. So thank you to Penny's. Thank you to our friends in Barnardo's, and thank you to all the hospitals and the staff for helping out. In addition, Penny's will make a donation of €5,000 to each of the 3 children's hospitals via the Children's Health Foundation, Temple Street and Crumlin, and the National Children's Hospital Foundation, Tala. This is generosity. This sets the tone for the next 10 days before the toy show hits our screens. This is a really good news story in a sad news day. And the pyjamas are not for sale, but they're going to great causes. Penny's have been in touch and they said they're going to give a few. They're going to put a few aside for listeners to this show and for the chance to win these. We're going to give them as a prize. So you can stay tuned. We'll let you know how you can win the last few pairs of sets of pyjamas that aren't going to be going elsewhere. We'll keep you posted on that. But well done, Penny's. Thank you. Lovely thing to do. I am text 51551. Ryan, I watched The Crown to see how Gillian Anderson portrayed Thatcher. It's spooky, eerie and menacing, says Shay in her thigh. She looked down on the royals as entitled layabouts, which is what a lot of people would feel. I don't like the way Gillian Anderson plays Thatcher, too much like spitting image and her portrayal. There was a woman, an actor who I really like, slightly underestimated because I don't think she gets the love she deserves, called Andrea Riseborough. And Andrea Riseborough, I've seen her in a few things, but she played a younger Thatcher and it was knockout. Veep, says the text, is hilarious. I watched the whole series with my husband. Laugh out loud television and perfect for COVID switch off. Enjoy your box set, says Susan, who's about to head into the office, which is also a very good series. But I absolutely loved, I'm loving Veep and I'm going to be watching it every single day. 20 minute bites, perfect. I read The Secret Guests. This is the book I was talking about earlier on. During the first lockdown, says Sylvia, and I really enjoyed it. It's so well written. I thought I bought it in our local bookshop, Sheila Nagig in Clochjordan. So please say hello to Molly and Liz, who keep us all well read. I love it. Molly and Liz. I love all these people who run these bookshops. And they're living. I think you're living the dream working in a bookshop like that. I think it's really nice. Now, speaking of the tiredness thing, I was just laughing because I saw something written down and I said, does that say Bette Midler? I looked again, it said becoming milder. I thought, oh God, go back to bed. If you thought becoming milder on the TV as a ticker across the bottom talking about the weather actually said Bette Midler, you know you're in trouble. You know you're in trouble when. I bought a magazine. I know a pal of mine said, you got to pick this up. And I said, thanks, John. Good recommendation. It was Uncut, the music magazine, because on the cover of it is Paul McCartney, who you may or may not know I'm a fan of, and his new album coming out in December, which I'm very excited about, which is his third McCartney. But then there was a plastic cover on that. I said, oh, fair enough. Took out the plastic. Took out the magazine. There's Macca there with his scrawled signature across the front of it, obviously. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get into this at some stage with a cup of coffee. I'm going to be excited about this. But out fell from the plastic a massive big poster of McCartney. It's actually, it's a lovely early McCartney, just post-Beatles, and he's got this baby, I think it's Mary, in his arms. It's a lovely, particularly lovely picture, poster. I thought to myself, what do I do with a poster? I felt like I was 12 or 13, giving me, because the Uncut isn't for kids. And they gave this big, it was a poster, proper, you know, blue tack on the corners, lash it up on the bedroom wall. I said, I'm not going to do that. In fact, I don't know what to do with it. I asked my gang this morning, I said, what does one do with a post like that? But obviously, give it to maybe a fan or somebody who has spare space in the wall they want to put on. And then they said, but do you remember when the blue tack slowly came off the corners and the poster fell on you? That noise, that wobble, that sense of fear. I said, well, I don't want that in my life. So anyway, it's folded with all the creases. Even if I took it out and put it up in the wall, it's creased. It's creased like mad. All right, Joey was on. Margaret Thatcher, who said you should not even be confused about her romantically or politically. Should we not at least respect the glass ceiling she broke? Oh, we're not doing this, are we? Hang on. Her achievement as the woman of attaining the highest. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. You're not allowed virtue signal when we're having a joke. There's a now, you can virtue signal if I'm being a douchebag, but you're not allowed virtue signal if I'm having a joke, so I'm not giving you that. Right, how lovely, Ryan, says another. Those children are so deserving of the Late Late Pajamas, aren't they though? It's a beautiful gesture, so take care, says Mark. It's a gorgeous gesture, and I'm very impressed by Penny's and by Barnardo's and all the hospitals. It's a good thing to do, because otherwise you'd hate to see them go to waste, or even wait for next year. Because next year, I was thinking about it as I was skipping downstairs this morning, next year's Late Late Toy Show is going to have an audience of 220 people. Next year's Late Late audiences, children will be able to play and hug and laugh and hold hands and do all the things next year. So I think this is, with all the talk of the vaccines, I think this is a one-off COVID Late Late Toy Show. I'm very, very, very convinced of that. So we'll get this show on the road. It's quite hard to present a chat show with no audience. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm used to it now. But I've never done a toy show with no audience. I think that's going to be an enormous challenge, but one that we are preparing for and we are ready to face. So why is the disco classic Yes Sir I Can Boogie now a Scottish football anthem that has re-entered the charts? What? It's a 1977 disco classic by Spanish duo Baccarat, and it's found a new lease of life as a Scottish football anthem. Because after Scotland beat Serbia, which qualified them for the Euros for the first time in 22 years, there was footage of the whole team shouting and singing, Yes Sir, I Can Boogie. Turns out that Andy Considine had a stag in Amsterdam in 2015, dressed up in drag and mimed along to Yes Sir, I Can Boogie. And then he was handed an unlikely call-up to the Scotland national team at the age of 33. And the Scottish players were filmed all dancing to Yes Sir I Can Boogie in the changing rooms. From that point on, the song has become an anthem. Which, I mean, it's fair enough. It's a good tune. So I'm going to play it. I think sometimes at the beginning of this we're interrupting them, but we'll just keep going. Here's a question for you. Yes, sir, I can boogie. Yes, comma, sir, I can boogie. Or yes, sir, comma, I can. Anyway, it's all about booging. Oh, Lord, I'm back in blinkers. That's it, Margaret. As a student nurse, you remember that? Yeah, Jerry's doing the same thing. It reminds me of my honeymoon in Ibiza in 1977. You were ahead of your time, Jerry. It was played everywhere, and boy, did I boogie. Okay, steady now, Jerry. Steady. 9:26. Don't get too ahead of yourself. Watch The Crown. You'll be fine in 5 minutes. Good morning. Good morning, Elaine. Well, good morning indeed. Your mention of posters falling made me laugh out loud, reminiscing about how a 2-foot Brad Pitt, he's not that small, is he? Oh, the poster, sorry. He fell on top of me in the bed, in the middle of the night when I was 14. Call the guards. Why do we never have enough blue tack to adhere them to the wall properly? Because we had to borrow bits of other, you know, when you went to the back of another poster to try and grab bits of the blue tack to see if that, and then it was becoming more and more flimsy. That song, meanwhile, says Elaine, is making me think about Brad Pitt again, but not the poster. Okay, lads, you're all a bit, listen, why not? Why not indeed? I discovered a great podcast of the weekend, says a text. American Elections, Wicked Game. It takes every presidential election from Washington in 1789 right up to today. Each election is an episode. Bite-sized history. Very interesting. I'm writing that down. American Election. Wicked Game. Okay. And I'll trade you. I got a great recommendation for one that I'm thoroughly enjoying, but it's not for everyone. It's a real, you want to be quite anoraki now for politics fans, called The Fault Line. It's narrated by David Dimbleby, and it is all about George Bush, George W. Bush, Tony Blair, the Iraq War. And if that, you'll either go, yeah, that's for me, or no, you must be joking, what a bore. If you're into that, it's really good, beautifully made and crafted. I should mention while I'm on the subject that a lot of you might have watched the Bloody Sunday documentary last night. Of course, there's, I neglected to mention, and I should have, that there is a documentary on One here from our friends and colleagues in RT Radio One on that very subject, available to download from their extraordinary collection of audio sounds and stories for your delectation. So get busy listening to those as soon as you can. The inside of the of your wardrobe, says Sarah, yes, is great for posters. Oh, you get a little lift in the morning when you open up and there it is. I don't know if I want to see bearded Paul McCartney with a child coming out of a papoose every morning. I don't. Morning.
Okay. Don't forget your socks, you know.
No, no, thanks. We got an enormous reaction to our discussion and chat yesterday about children, a certain child, a type of child who just can't face school at the moment. The anxiety is intense, and I want to get to some of that reaction hopefully this morning if time permits. But I wanted to say thank you for taking the trouble to write to us with your stories, and we will endeavour to take that on. In fact, not only endeavour, we will take it on and we'll come back to you on that.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
On the subject of school anxiety, one mother to another says, I have the same with one of my kids. I went to the GP. They issued a letter. She is now attending CAMHS, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services. The longer the days are missed at school, the harder it is to face the school. Good, okay. It's very hard to watch them not wanting to go so young, trying to cope. But stand firm one step at a time and talk, talk, talk. You'll get through this together. Another says, my heart goes out to that parent. I have an 8-year-old who was a happy, smiling boy before lockdown one. We're now on play therapy session 13 and beginning to see light. He was exactly the same. Wouldn't leave the house, wouldn't leave me, scared of everything, not scared of COVID for himself, but scared that he'd bring COVID to the house and that he would die. And his anxiety had reached such a level, and he knew it, but he couldn't understand it. Life was too hard, he used to say. And that's a very difficult thing to hear from your 8-year-old. It was that phrase that made us move to get professional help. But he is improving every day with play therapy. Help is out there. And these children are the silent sufferers. We need to deal with their issues now, or they will carry them into their adult years. Another avalanche of mental health issues when they already have enough to deal with in the world. She is not alone. And I think that's very well said, because I have heaps of very lengthy and heartfelt emails sent in by people. And we'll keep them coming in the course of the week this week. Yeah, but Carmel McKiernan is from Dublin / Cavan and now living in Frankfurt in Deutschland. And she says, following from your mention on Obama's book, which I said was a big one, she said, here's a nice German word for you to learn, Ryan. A thick, heavy, bang on the table book is referred to as a Schinken. S-C-H-I-N-K-E-N. Pronounced like Schinken. Schinken. It means a ham, as in the size of a big heavy ham. I must use Schinken for some actors I've seen about the place recently, but not, I won't mention them by name. I was watching a great antiques curiosity show, and a guy came in with this giant historic book. It could have been At Home in Harry Potter or In the Name of the Rose. Anyway, the witty dealer looks at it and asks, so tell us about the Schinken, which obviously they did. And over here in the Weihnachtsmarkt is not happening this year, so we will be watching the toy show on the RT player. Oh, I'm your sloppy seconds, am I? Oh, the market's closed. Oh, what'll we do now? Oh, well, look, just look at the pipe cleaner with the toys. That's the way it is it? I see. Okay, then. But yes, you're going to watch the player, which is good for a little bit of cheer. God, that's good news. Right then, tune. Yep.
Tastes like strawberries, watermelon sugar.
That's Harry Styles, the boy in the dress, if you're to believe the Vogue magazine story this morning. But more of that for another day. Thank you for all the texts that are coming in, heaps of them. Some nice reminiscences about posters on the walls of the bedroom, but and more besides. We'll try and get to a few of those after this. Oh, Lord. Isn't it gas when you're your own best audience? Now, I mean, in the sense that... too much to discuss now, so I'm going to have to go. But what I will say is that we have loads and loads of response to the programme today. And what we're going to do is collate those responses, put them together, and we'll see you in the morning and discuss those at length. Watched a film called The Gentleman. Have you seen The Gentleman? Guy Ritchie, wouldn't be for everyone. If you're not fond of profanities, well then, don't watch it. But do you know who's in it? Hugh Grant is in it, and he's actually really good. I think Hugh Grant is having a reconnaissance, much like the reconnaissance, because McConaughey is in as well, weirdly. But it's very good. As is The Undoing, which also stars a very good and slightly worn out looking Hugh Grant. Maybe it's because he's wearing a navy shirt. Who knows? Anyway, we're going to leave it there. Email ryan@rte.ie throughout the day, into the night, and as long as you can, because we love hearing from you. Stay tuned to Clare Byrne. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you the next time.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.